All right, everyone. Welcome to this month's Member Solutions teleconference. My name is Melody Schumann, and I'll be your host today. The topic of discussion today is your top five questions answered. This is a report that I do on a bi-monthly basis, and it's all based on the members' requests. The 20-minute consultations are going really strong, and from those consultations, I take the top five questions that people are asking during this time. I'll try to give you some thoughtful feedback on my suggestions and answers that will hopefully help you generate even better results. Question number one is the most common question, and it's basically summer seems to be the worst season for martial arts schools. What's your plan for summer recovery? Well, you know, as I mentioned in the report, you can ask all the colleagues in the martial arts industry what their plan is, and you're going to get 100 different answers. I feel that summertime is the best time to take advantage of the mood that your community is in. I live here in beautiful St. Pete Beach, Florida, and there's a couple of key points that I noticed in my particular demographical community. Number one, it's relaxed mode for everybody. Number two, this is a time to have fun with their family and friends. Number three, they're enjoying the weather. And number four, it's also the kind of calm before the storm, and I consider the storm the actual back-to-school season time. So what I did is I really thought about these four points, and I tried to figure out a way, how can my school mold into that type of mentality that we have here in St. Pete? And here's what we do. As far as relaxed mode goes, we do close for a whole week, and that's during the 4th of July week. This year, actually, we're closed from July 4th until July 10th. It gives me almost a whole week off, and I'm going to take a much-needed vacation, something that usually I mix vacation with business, but this year I'm actually going to go to South Beach and take a break. It gives me an opportunity to really have something to look forward to. Right now, as I mentioned to Kathy earlier, we're knee-deep in summer camps right now. We're also knee-deep in pre-evaluations and enrollments. Right at the end of the school year, I did a lot of school lectures and so forth. So we've had pre-evaluations coming in right and left. So I'm working really hard. I'm also starting another company, which is going to be launched August 1st, which is called Concepts for Kids. And my workload right now is extremely heavy. Knowing that I'm taking a break in July really helps me keep my eye on the ball and stay really focused. But also the relaxed mode is really good for my students. My students appreciate the opportunity for them to take a break and not come to school for that week. As you all know, in my school, we have a mandatory attendance policy. Our students have to be here at their assigned classes, and if they miss their class, then they have to make it up on Saturday. Of course, if they take a vacation here and there, it's understandable, but if they miss a class and they don't make it up more than two times within a particular belt cycle, then their membership is actually suspended. And what that does is it shows them that each and every single class has an importance to it, because we cover our skill-based topics that rotate. So if you miss, you're going to miss a very important topic. Well, our parents, they love the fact that we're taking a break for a week, because now they know they don't have to stress out about getting their students to class for that particular week. So it works. It's a win-win on both sides. Also, again, fun with family and friends. Well, you know, in my particular community, everybody loves to hang out. They love to socialize. We live by the beach. Everybody likes to have that vacation mode. So we take advantage of the opportunity to have fun with our family and our friends from our school. Just take a look at some of the things we have on our summertime calendar. We have 2 weeks of summer camps. I have two parents' night outs, which are both summer camps and our parent nights out are very, very popular. In fact, we're sold out of both of our parent night outs already, and they're not even scheduled until several weeks from now. Same thing with our summer camps. We sold out back in at the beginning of May. We maxed out at 35 kids in each particular camp. So you can see our students really love to spend time at our school. We also have an on-the-mat beach day coming up towards the end of the month, and we already have at least 3 dozen families signed up for that. We also have our annual back-to-school picnic scheduled for August, and that's when we go to the Seminole Lake Park and we rent out one of those little shelter areas. We get a bounce house. We have a barbecue. We just have a really good time. Last year, we did a head count. There was over 200 people who attended our back-to-school picnic. This year, I anticipate that we're going to hit probably 300. even with the heat outside, our students really love when we put on events. They all participate. It's a great networking opportunity for me and my staff to really get to know our students and their families a little bit better. We have really good, strong relationships with each and every student. I really can't think of one student in my school that I don't know their parents on a first-name basis, what they do for a living, what they like, and so forth. And these particular events and activities are a great opportunity for you and your staff to do the same. Also, summertime's a really good time to enjoy the weather. And here in my area, it's really, really hot. So what we do during the summertime is we have T-shirt every Wednesday through Saturday from June to August. Now, Mondays and Tuesdays, we keep as uniform day. And one of the reasons why is because we have a special uniform and patch system for our students. So we want them to be able to wear those uniforms so that they can continually earn those patches and earn those new uniforms and stay motivated, because if you don't have them wearing uniforms during the summertime, it may take some of the value out of it. For example, each one of our programs is divided by beginners, intermediates, and advanced. And just to give you a small example, our 5- and 6-year-olds, the beginners wear a black V-neck uniform with a white collar. The intermediates have the blue collar, and the advanced have the red. So when you come into my school and you look at the class, you can tell who's a beginner, who's been here for 6 months or more, and who's been here for a year or more. And they really love it. As a matter of fact, we just had a testing a few weeks back, and it's so funny when I ask the kids, oh, are you excited to get that new belt? They hear equally or actually, and as a matter of fact, more excited about getting that new uniform. So we don't want to eliminate the uniforms all the way. We just want to restrict it maybe just to 2 days a week instead of every single day. The parents also appreciate that because a lot of them are spending a lot of time at the beach or hanging out with their children, and doing laundry isn't as much of a priority as it is when the school season is in. So the fact that they don't have to wash that uniform every day, they really appreciate that. And then, of course, the calm before the storm. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, the summertime is the slowest time for me, so I don't do any advertising. Well, you know, I look at it another way. Since it is the slowest time of the year for martial arts schools, now's the time to really pick up your marketing campaign and really start to give it a kickstart, so that when back to school seat time is here and people are thinking about where they're going to put, what kind of events and activities they're going to put their children in that help subsidize and support the whole fact of the back to school time, I want our school to be right fresh in their head. So we do a really strong and heavy marketing campaign, which actually begins towards the middle of this month. We're going to run some direct mail. We're going to do some community service events to really give us some public exposure. We're going to do a lot of networking with local businesses. We have a strong, strong network of pediatricians, dentists, massage therapists. You name it, we have people who are related to our business, whether they're a parent or they're a friend, and they're more than happy to help support our business by hanging up posters and flyers and so forth. So this is the calm before the storm, and we really want to take advantage of it. Also, right in August when our next testing comes around, we have a lot of students graduating from one program to the next, which means that we're going to have open slots available. Right now, pretty much every single one of our programs, with the exception of our Monday and Wednesday 10 to 14-year-old group, is sold out. So even if you did join in, you would be on a restricted training basis because we don't have slots available. So August is the best time for us to really step up our marketing and really get people back into the school to fill in those slots that we were sold out from during the summertime. Going on to question number 2, time management is a factor because there's so much to be done every day at a martial arts school. How do you balance everything out? Well, for me right now, I am a master at delegating. I delegate anything I don't really want to do or don't have time to do so that I can do the things that I really like to do. Just to give you a couple of examples, here's a couple of things that I delegate. I used to do all my own accounting. Now I have a CPA who does all my accounting, and he actually acts as my financial advisor as well. I'm doing a lot of real estate investing right now since the market is really slow. So he's really helping me keep everything in control of my finances. It takes the stress out of me from trying to figure out where do I put my money or how do I take care of my accounting and budget all of my companies right now. He does all that for me. That saves me a lot of time. As far as billing goes, of course, obviously I outsource my billing to Member Solutions. And I like the fact that when somebody joins, we can just upload all their information right online. I can run a report anytime that I want. Jill, if she needs to make any kind of membership adjustments, she can do all that online. It makes everything a lot easier versus doing in-house billing. The only type of in-house billing right now that we do is our students who buy packages, whether they buy the 6-month or 1-year packages. But, you know, we only have about 25% of our student base who does some kind of VIP package. So 75% of our students, that's a lot of legwork to do, and it's good to have a billing, tuition billing company that we feel safe and we feel confident that can help manage our time a little bit better. As far as external management goes, there's all kinds of different opportunities out there for a martial arts school. But us as school owners, we wear so many hats, sometimes it's really hard to focus on those particular opportunities because we're working on so many different things internally that we feel are important. That's why I delegate this particular role to my PR director. She's in charge of all my press releases, setting up external demonstrations, keeping my community informed through emails and bulletins, and the best part is she's a volunteer. So I can ask her to set up a school supply drive. I can ask her to send out a press release. She takes care of all that for me. I don't even have to worry about it. All she really does is send me a copy of the press release before it gets sent out, and I review it and make sure that it looks good. Just to give you a couple of examples, we had Jason David Frank here a couple weeks ago. He's the Power Ranger from the popular TV series, and he came in and he taught a whole bunch of complimentary classes to our students, which was really exciting. So we sent out a press release before and after and got some really good press exposure. Another thing is I just went to Las Vegas to support my friend John Hackelman in the UFC fight. He's actually Chuck Liddell's coach. So I got to go out there, and I had phenomenal seats at the event in Vegas, and I got to meet some really big names in the UFC event. And mixed martial arts right now is really popular. So after I went to the event, I came back, and we sent out a press release to a couple of people in my area and also a couple of people on the national level. And I've already gotten 3 different people who have contacted me to get my quotes and get my firsthand experience on the UFC and the mixed martial arts market. That's something that I would have never done. Having my PR director there to help me take care of that really saves me a lot of time. Now, as far as internal management goes, my business partner takes care of pretty much all of my internal operations, with the exception of anything that goes that has to do with the deck. So, for example, she takes care of my enrollments. Every single new prospect that walks through the door, I personally do the pre-evaluations. This is one of the things that I like to do. Because I delegate everything else, I always have time to do these pre-evaluations. But once I do the pre-evaluation, and I sit down and I explain with the parent and the student where I identify their strengths are and where I identified how our program is specifically going to help them, and then I recommend the trial program, the minute they're ready to sign up, I hand them over to my office manager or my business partner, and she takes care of all the enrollment procedures from that point forward. Saves me a lot of time. Now, she also takes care of the school calendar and event promotion. Now, way at the beginning of the year, I just took out a simple standard Excel calendar, and I wrote out everything I wanted to do for the entire 2007 year. Now, if you haven't done this yet, I highly recommend you do it, because it makes everything very organized. I have my calendar so comprehensive, down to the skills and the topics that we teach each and every day. So if you came up to me and said, hey, Melody, I'm going to be gone and the 3rd week in August, what is my child going to miss in the 5- and 6-year-old program, and what is my child going to miss in the 7- and 8-year-old program, I could jump on my Excel calendar and pull it up really quickly and say, here's the skills they're going to miss. They're going to miss agility and technique, focus and teamwork, so that they know they need to make sure that they have those skill tracks before they leave so that they're still eligible to test. Also, of course, having all the special events and activities scheduled way in advance, I don't even have to say anything to my business partner. She does the calendars on a regular basis. She already sees what I have scheduled, my school supply drives, my beach days, my parents' nights, my summer camps, my our Wellington after-school programs, and so forth, and she just pulls it up. She knows when she has to pull it up or how far in advance she needs to pull up those dates and create flyers, send out emails, post bulletins on our website, post bulletins in our school area, and start talking with the parents and making school announcements and so forth. Makes my job a lot easier because I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. She takes care of all that. And, of course, she also does all of our basic student management. She takes care of all the tracking and testing process and so forth. And then, of course, marketing. Marketing is an area where I used to put a lot of time into, and it was just really frustrating because it didn't work. Of course, I obviously took it really personal. And sometimes I just, you know, marketing isn't something that I have a passion for like I have a passion for teaching. So right now, basically what I do is I put together my campaigns. They're already on my calendar. I write down really what I'm looking for. I email the ideas to my graphic designer. He puts together the finished product. And then that goes over to either my business partner who creates the flyers or the posters, or it goes to our direct mail company. Or if it's email ad or an email campaign, it goes to our advertising company who takes care of it from there. Right now, we're using an email advertising company for Unmet Martial Arts, for Shoe-In Concepts, and also for our new company, Concepts for Kids. And the results are phenomenal. They have this really good software system that helps filter out some of the keywords and phrases that normally come up as spam. And he helps advise us on what will work and what won't work as far as email marketing goes. So it saves me a lot of time because all I have to do is put an idea together, and a graphic designer creates a finished product, and then he communicates with our advertising company on how to maximize that particular finished product. If there are any kind of adjustments, they do so. I see the proof, approve it, and then they go ahead and they take it and run with it. So that saves me a lot of time. Going on to instruction, I have a head instructor that assists me with curriculum management. Basically, what he does is he makes sure that he delivers the curriculum the way that I want. Every testing cycle, I create all 8-week planners in advance, and then I post them on my curriculum bulletin. So if I'm not here for one day, or I have a seminar, or I have a special human contact member who just happens to pop into my school, and I'm unable to teach the class, Carlos goes right up to the curriculum bulletin. He sees what has to be taught for the day. He knows the drills he needs to do, and he delivers the curriculum very easily. He also makes sure that the students are coming to the mandatory classes. He has rules to teach the best classes that he possibly can. He helps run smooth testings. He even provides me with constructive feedback on class planners and testing charts and lets me know, hey, this drill, I tried it in class and it didn't work. But this drill, we tried it in class and it worked really well. As a matter of fact, this is one of our testing cycles where we added new drills into each one of our skills and each one of our programs, and Carlos has been testing them out, and he's really been giving me some great feedback. Fortunately, all the drills that we just created are working really well, but it's really good to hear him come back and be able to facilitate and tell me why the drills worked really well, what he saw they got out of it, and maybe some suggestions on how we can make it even better next go around. So that saves me a lot of time, and it takes all the guesswork out because I get really good feedback from my head instructor. Going on to cleaning, and now somebody actually laughed at me when I put this on here, but it's true. I outsource all of my cleaning, everything from my house to my vehicles to my dry cleaning to my school. You know, we're very, very busy people, and cleaning is something that always needs to get done. We're always going to have laundry to do. We're always going to have to clean our house and clean our vehicles, and it's very, very time-consuming. So I outsource all that. You know, for less than $750, this is money that's well spent for me. I have my school cleaned twice a week. I have my house. I have a cleaning service that cleans my house. I have a guy who comes up to the school who actually cleans my vehicles. I have somebody who runs my laundry and my dry cleaning for me. And it's just peace of mind knowing I don't have to take care of any of that stuff because it can be very tedious. It makes my life a lot easier. And then going on, of course, to editing. I'm very good at writing, but I'm not very good at editing because I already see the sentence before I try to review it because it was in my head. So now I have an editor who takes care of all my Shuman concept stuff, my concepts for kids, my on-the-mat stuff. And then, of course, Member Solutions has a great editor who edits all my material, like the report that you read for this Type 5 questions. She takes care of all that for me. So it makes my job a lot easier. If I'm going to put together a letter for my students, or I'm going to put together a press release for one of my Shuman Concept clients, or anything that I'm going to put together, I give it to my editor, and from there she takes it and freshens it up and makes sure that it looks really good. So that saves me a lot of time, too. So just kind of going back, when people say, how do you handle all your time management? It's very simple. I delegate all the things that need to get done but I don't want to do so that I have time to do the things that I really like to do. So here are the things that I really like to do. I love to write. I love to research. I love to study. I'm forever a student of studying children, studying psychology, studying anatomy and physiology so that I can always maximize my programs and so forth. I also love to teach. Right now, like when I said I was knee-deep in summer camp, I've been at the school since 8 o'clock this morning. I taught my kickboxing. I jumped in, and I played with my kids for summer camp, jumped in my office so that I can do this teleconference, and then I'll be right out on the floor for summer camp and for classes this evening. And I'm able to manage it all because all these other little things that used to weigh down on me, I don't have to worry about anymore because I have a great team who's taking care of it all. Going on to question number three, this person said, I like your class planner chart that you sent me. How do you come up with so many great drills? Well, again, I guess this kind of goes back to like what I just said. This is something that I really like to do. I love creating really cool drills for my students, not just drills that are time fillers because I don't believe in time fillers anymore, drills that actually the students love and drills that actually generate results. To me, there's nothing cooler than when I run a drill and the kids go, can we do it again? Can we do it again? Can we do it again? I just think that's so much fun. As a matter of fact, you know, every morning for our summer camp, what we do is we split our students up into teams and we give them team names. And then we sit down and we say, okay, each team gets to pick two activities that we're going to play during the day. And it's so funny to see my students pick standard or martial arts drills that we're using in the class for the activities that they want to play during summer camp. To me, that makes me excited to know that they really like these drills and they're getting a lot out of it. So here's some ways that I come up with my drills. Well, as you know, each one of my age groups has a list of skills and topics that are building their stage of development. And this is very important because if you know what they're learning or if you know the skills that they're learning and growing and building during their particular age group, then you know that you can just create drills around that particular skill and it's going to generate results. It's not going to be too easy, not going to be too hard. For example, you're not really going to want to do too many extensive coordination drills with a 3- and 4-year-old because it's not in their stage of development. For 3- and 4-year-olds, I'm just focusing on drills that are going to build their gross motor skills with their feet, like running in and out of cones, gross motor skills with their hands, like crawling under things, crawling over things, punching targets off of weight bags and so forth. I'm also going to teach them things that build their 1, 2, and 3-step intellectual process. Okay, I want you to run over there and turn around. Good, come back. Now I want you to run over there, turn around, and do 5 jumping jacks. Very good. Now I want you to run over there, do 5 jumping jacks and 5 push-ups, and see how many things they can retain and learn. And, of course, we also do social drills where they learn how to take turns and they interact with each other. Same thing for 5- and 6-year-olds. I've got 8 skills, so it's really easy for me to put together drills based around those skills once you know the skills that are appropriate for their age group. Same goes for the 7- and 9-year-olds and the 10 and up. Some other things that I do to really help me design really good drills is I spend a lot of time watching other sports and their training methods. I am a huge sports fan, and a lot of times I get great ideas just by watching a football game, a baseball game, a soccer game, a hockey game, a basketball game. While I was out in Vegas for the UFC event, I must have put together at least a dozen drills just from watching the fights and hanging out at the blackjack tables and talking with other sports fans and just picking their brain and finding out what kind of training regimens they do. And I help incorporate them into my school. I also study a lot of books, videos, and reports to fully know my students. So if I'm trying to create drills for my 5- and 6-year-olds, for example, and I'm really stumped, what I'll do is I'll just jump on the internet and I'll Google a preschool website or I'll Google some PE teaching tips and get some ideas and just try to find ways on how that will make my students kicks better, punches better, blocks better, and so forth. And, of course, I put in bold on my report when I was talking about this question, to be the best teacher and drill designer, you must simultaneously be the best student. And that's very important for everybody to remember. You know, this is something that I've been trying to teach my head instructor, Carlos, for a long time now. We're starting this new company called Concepts for Kids, and basically what it's going to be is an online resource of nothing but children's drills. And I told Carlos that I was going to give him his own little section. It's going to be called Carlos's Corner. And I said, every other month you're going to submit new drills and new activities that you like to teach in your classes. That way people get a perspective not just from me but also from another person as well. He's 20, he's dynamic, he's a guy, so there may be a lot of drills that he probably likes differently than what I like. So he's been trying to put together these really – we've been putting together some pretty creative and pretty inventive drills, but he has been getting stumped. And I've really been trying to stress the importance of studying. So I took a lot of my old videos and books and so forth. And I gave them to him, and I said, here you go, study. And less than a day went by, he came back, and he had over 24 drills just because he picked up that motivation from reading and studying. And now he's starting to understand to be a really good instructor and be a really good a creator and innovator, you have to be a good student. It can't just come from your mind. It's got to come from inspiration. You can find your inspiration everywhere. You just have to look for it. So I'm very proud of him, and I can't wait to see what he comes up with. Going on to question number 4. I have so many consulting resources right now, but I feel so scattered on what to do with all the information. As someone who consults with so many schools, what is your best advice on how to put these resources into action? Well, I think that this is a great, great question. And there are so many consulting companies out there and so many consulting resources out. And people always ask me, well, which one is the best? Well, me personally, it's really hard to say which one is the best. I think they all have great information out there. Me personally, there's a lot of people in the industry that I admire and I listen to and I learn a lot from. And it's really, if you're going to take all that information and apply it to your school, you have to be highly organized or else none of those resources are going to work. But, you know, there's a lot of people who I always talk to who say, I read that, but it didn't work in my school. And I always ask them, well, what was your process for following through? And a lot of times people will hear an idea and they'll go, that's a great idea, and they'll apply it. And maybe it won't work very well at first, so then they'll just quickly abandon the idea. A lot of people get stuck in that mentality of, it's got to work quick and it's got to work fast, or else it's not going to work in my school. I can understand this because being a school owner and also running other businesses and being involved in so many other hobbies and activities such as real estate investment and so forth, I can understand where people are thinking it's got to be fast because we're on a time crunch here. But at the same time, if you're going to be a savvy business owner, you've got to understand that it takes patience and it takes time to really study and understand how this method applies to your specific school. And there is really, honestly, no fast way to success. It is a process. When I first opened my school in here in St. Petersburg, after the results that we had in my last schools, I thought opening up this school in St. Pete was going to be a piece of cake, and we were going to break target numbers, just like I hear all my other friends and colleagues saying that they're enrolling 20, 50, 60 students, and I thought I was going to be able to match that, no problem. What I discovered when I first opened up my school is that I didn't want to explode fast because I started realizing that what I'm going to do is I'm going to lose that sense of value that I want to have in my curriculums. And right now I'm a very passionate teacher and I'm very passionate about the programs that we deliver in our particular community. But I realized that there was not going to be a fast way to a successful school for me if I was going to run these curriculums the way I wanted them to. So I decided instead that I was going to pace myself. As a matter of fact, not only am I pacing myself, I'm restricting myself. We put class caps on each one of our programs so that I can deliver the curriculum in a results-driven manner to a level that satisfies myself, even if that means that I have to either turn away students or tell students they have to wait until we have enough room to put them into our program. Now, if you've been to my school, I've got a 5,000-square-foot school, and my training mat is 2,000 square feet. I can fit as many as 40 to 50 kids on my training mat. As a matter of fact, when we had the Power Ranger teaching our class, we did have 50-plus kids on the mat. But that doesn't mean that I want to have 50 kids on my mat every single day if I want to have the results that I want with my curriculum, and that's the most important part. So right now what I'm doing is I'm pacing myself. I'm being very patient. I want to get those high numbers. I want to do $50,000 a month in billing plus, but I don't want to do it the quick, fast, and easy way because then what's going to happen is I'm going to fall into that same little rut that I fell into when I ran my last schools. By the time I was 25, with my last schools, I wasn't teaching anymore. I didn't really want to do martial arts anymore. I was already thinking about psychology or some other avenue to really give me something that I felt passionate about. That's when I actually created the Little Ninja program, and that's when I started creating the 8-specific curriculums, and it took me all the way to where I am today. And that's one thing that I've learned, and if there's anything that I can tell you, don't take the fast or easy way if you don't have to. because sometimes the fast and easy way can be retroactive for you. You can either lose passion, you can lose students, you can lose friendships, or you can miss out on something that could be very, very important, more important than your actual bottom line. So take your time and pace yourself. But I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. Let me give you some advice on now how to take all these consulting information and make it work for you. Well, the first thing you want to do is just create a list of all your strengths and all your weaknesses. It's very simple. And put them in categories like curriculum, instruction, management as far as like staff management, operational procedures as far as how do you enroll a student, how do you take care of their member management and so forth, and then marketing. And then write out in each particular area what you're really good at. What am I good at as far as curriculum? Well, right now I think I'm good at everything in my curriculum. Okay, so I'll put that aside. As far as instruction, what am I really good at instruction? Right now I feel like I'm a really good instructor at pretty much everything. I don't really feel like I have any weak spots. Put that aside. Management, what do I need to work on as far as management? Well, right now, me, as far as management, what I need to do is I need to start thinking about how can I turn my head instructor into an innovator like I am as far as curriculum development. How can I take my business partner and my editor, my assistant, Teresa, and turn them into innovators and researchers and creators so that they can help take on additional roles for human concepts and help with consulting and help on take on additional roles for concepts for kids. So that's one of my areas of weakness. And then marketing, you know, and so forth. List out what you're good at, list what you're not good at. And then from there, all the resources you have, find topics that apply to those particular weak areas. And just study, and work yourself through until you feel like it now becomes a strength. That's what I did in the very, very beginning. I remember when I first joined NAPMA, I believe I was 19, and I loved everything. I was a big, big fan of NAPMA. I was a big Rob Colasanti fan. His key result areas, all those different topics that he came up with, I didn't even really know that martial arts was divided in these different categories. So I just plucked away on all these areas until I got better at each and every one of them. And you can do the same thing. So take all these consulting resources. Use as many of them as you can. And hit the areas of your weakness, and then, of course, if you need a little bit of motivation, hit the areas of your strengths, too, just so you can make your strengths even better. That's how you make all these consulting resources work for you. And, of course, like I said, you have to put them into action or else they will not work. Going on to question number 5. I had the pleasure of meeting you and your staff last year for your escape event and was very impressed with how your staff carried themselves. How strict are you with your staff so that you can keep them in line without demotivating them? Well, this is a really good question, and I do have to boast, and Brad, we have a very, very good staff right now, which I remember in my other schools, I had all these fines and penalty systems and so forth for my staff, and, you know, there wasn't a day where we were faced with some kind of conflict because somebody was demotivated, somebody wanted more money, and I just couldn't figure out the secret weapon. Well, right now, I've figured out the secret weapon, and the secret weapon is to treat all of your staff as equal. So I show all of my staff a great deal of respect. Also, I assign them each to duties. You know, Carlos comes in and his main role is to deliver the curriculum in a results-driven manner. If a student earns a skill stripe and then shows up at testing and comes nowhere near performing that particular skill at a level that's satisfactory, he is the only one to blame, of course, next to myself, because I'm also teaching the curriculum, too. If for some reason a parents' night doesn't get announced until the week of, and 3 days before parents' night out, we only have 5 people enrolled, I turn around to my business partner, who's in charge of my internal operations, and say, how come this wasn't announced earlier? How come flyers weren't distributed? How come you didn't talk to the parents and get people signed up? If we have no demonstrations, no press releases going out, no form of external exposure in my school, I can turn to my PR director and say, hey, what's the deal? Can you set up some demonstrations? So in other words, each one of us are equally responsible for our duties, and we don't pass the buck on to anybody else. In my other school, I wanted everybody to be good at everything so that there was never really a problem. But there was a problem. The problem was is people kept pointing the finger at each other, and it made it really hard. Now we don't have to worry about that. But the most important thing that I do to keep my staff motivated is I try to lead by the best example that I possibly can. I am a very, very hard worker. Even when I'm not working, I am working. And my staff sees that. I'm the first one in the office every day, and most of the time I'm the last one out. I'm on the floor if I'm not on the phone, or I'm not writing a if I'm not writing on a computer, or I'm not talking to a parent. If I'm not teaching class, I'm either talking with a parent, or I'm working with a student, or I'm returning a phone call. I try to return my phone calls. The minute the message gets on my desk, I make a plan to return it. Same thing with my emails. The minute I get a chance to check my emails, I try to return those emails as efficiently as I can. I give my best every single class that I teach, and my head instructor sees it. I'm highly organized in all of my different duties and responsibilities as far as class planning goes, as far as getting my instrument concepts curriculum and material done on time, as far as keeping a good timetable for my new company. And my staff watches me stay highly organized, so it shows them that they need to be organized too. I have to admit that in the past, in my former school, and I like to always revert back to my former school because I think that there's a lesson to be learned there. We were doing great numbers and we were making a lot of money, but I was very stressed and I was very unhappy. Now here I am really happy. So I don't know what I was getting at there, but again, the point is if you lead by really good example, your staff is going to admire you, they're going to respect you, and they're going to want to do the same. I know what I was saying now. In the past, there were times where I would just sit in my office and just delegate from my desk and say, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, but I wasn't doing anything myself. Or I was just hanging around, or I was taking a lot of vacations and so forth. And I don't do that anymore. If I take a vacation, I work while I'm on vacation. My staff, again, they really respect it. They want to take on more roles because they see me taking on more roles, and they see me conquering these roles. As a matter of fact, just to give you another quick example, we had testing, and then we had 2 weeks of summer camp back-to-back, and all my material is due for my new company all within this week. And my staff was like, man, are we crazy for doing these back-to-back summer camps right after testing and having all this concept for kids stuff done? You know what I told my staff last night at dinner? I said, no, I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to put myself to the test. I wanted to see how hard I can really work because I want my work ethic to get better and better. I don't want to get lazy yet. I've got a long way to go. I've got a lot of goals to accomplish. I think my staff had a lot of respect for that. So that's one way to keep them motivated. But, you know, right here in this report I broke down, you know, I have all my staff delegated to their different duties and responsibilities. Jill, my business partner, she does all the accounting, the member management, event promotions of both companies. I have a system administrator who's in charge of both of the websites and IT consulting. I have a graphic designer who puts together all of my marketing material for all of my companies. I have an assistant named Teresa who helps me with human concepts, but she also helps me on the mat. She helps me edit. She helps me teach. She helps with front desk management and so forth. I have an advertising executive, Tony, who gives us thoughtful feedback on what we need to be doing for our next marketing campaign. I have a PR director, Bev, who's in charge of, like I said, my external management. And probably one of the most important links to our chain is this guy named Terry. He's the chairman and board of directors of our companies. And basically what we do is we have board meetings every month, and he's the one to facilitate everything. He's not a paid employee at all. Basically what we do is we bring all of our new ideas, innovations, and concepts to the tables, and he's the one who basically keeps the conversation positive, keeps the conversations productive, so that it's not just me dictating how my companies are going to go. Because there are times where I may make a decision based on heart and not a decision based on business, and he helps me keep all that in line. So, again, the point of keeping my staff motivated is delegate them the duties and lead by the best example you possibly can. If you do that, your staff will definitely fall in line. I don't recall coming across a martial arts school owner or a business owner, for that matter, who is a very savvy business owner, who is very, very hardworking, that does not have a loyal following. Those business owners that are very savvy and are hardworking always have loyal people following who want to be just like them. So sometimes we may get stuck in a rut. If you feel like you're stuck in a rut, now's the time to just set some new goals for yourself. Step up to the plate. Try to find ways that you can improve your work ethic, and your staff will follow as long as you stay organized, as long as you have a goal in mind, and as long as the goal is equally distributed amongst your staff with all of their best interests in mind as well. So that's this month's Member Solutions teleconference for the top five questions asked. Thank you guys very much for all these great questions. I really enjoyed spending the time to answer your questions. I really enjoy all the feedback. The emails are going great. The consultations are going great. You guys are all really wonderful, so please keep it coming. So thank you, everybody, for participating in this month's Member Solutions teleconference. I'll speak to you guys next month. I hope everybody is having a great summertime. So everybody take care. Thank you, guys.